أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him, and seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one can lead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the best of your ability, fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with a greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. And I would like to welcome all of you for continuation of explanation and authentication of Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahmatullahi alayh. And today, inshallah, we have a new chapter, which is chapter number 29. And as usual, we read the chapter in Arabic first. And after this, we hear the chapter in English. After this, we'll go to references and authentication of the hadith. And after this we'll go to book Al-Qawl al-Mufid by Sheikh Muhammad Salih ibn al-Uthaymeen for further details. So again, this is chapter number 29, Babu Ma Ja'a Fi Tanjeem. Qala al-Bukhari Fi Sahihihi Qala Qatada خلق الله هذه النجوم لثلاث زينة للسماء ورجوما للشياطين وعلامات يهتدى بها فمن تأول فيها غير ذلك فقد أخطأ وأضاع نصيبه وتكلف ما لا علم له به وكره قتادة تعلم منازل القمر ولم يرخص ابن عيين فيه ذكره حرب عنهما ورخص في تعلم المنازل أحمد وإسحاق وعن أبي موسى قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة مدمن الخمر وقاطع الرحم ومصدق بالسحر رواه أحمد وابن حبان في صحيحه. فيه مسائل: الأولى الحكمة من خلق النجوم، الثانية الرد على من زعم غير ذلك، الثالثة ذكر الخلاف في تعلم المنازل، الرابعة الوعيد في من صدق بشيء من السحر ولو عرف أنه باطل. And now inshallah we hear from brother Najmuddin. He will read the chapter for us in English.
Chapter number 29. What is said regarding astrology, At-Tanjim? Imam al-Bukhari recorded in his Sahih that Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Allah created the stars for three purposes. One, as ornaments of the heavens. Two, as missiles against the devils. Three, as signposts for the guidance of travelers. Whoever interprets otherwise is mistaken. Such a person is to lose his reward on the day of resurrection, and takes upon himself that which is outside his knowledge. Harp has reported that the learning of the lunar phases was permitted by Ahmed and Ishaq, discouraged by Qatada, and prohibited by Uyayna. Abu Musa, may Allah be pleased with him, is reported to have said that Allah's messenger, blessings and peace be upon him, said, Three types of people will not enter paradise. One, the habitual wine or alcohol drinker. Two, the believer in sorcery, and astrology is among it. Three, the one who severs blood relations. Ahmed and Ibn Hibban have mentioned this hadith in his Sahih. Important issues of the chapter? Number one, the wisdom of creating the stars. Number two, the refutation of those who claim otherwise. Number three, mention of the difference of opinions regarding study of the lunar phases. Number four, the punishment promised for those who believed in any aspect of sorcery, though knowing fully well that sorcery is falsehood.
Okay, inshallah, in this chapter we don't have any verses to give you references for it, and basically we have one quotation from Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, and one hadith. The quotation, which is from Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi. This is not a hadith, this is a quotation by one of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, Qatada. And this quotation is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari. As for the second or the first hadith that we see in this chapter, which reported by Abu Musa concerning the three people who are prevented from entering Jannah, this is the collection of Imam Ahmad and Ibn Hibban. Sheikh al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayh, said that this hadith has a weakness, there is a defect. But in the meantime, he also said that supported other narration, it will make the hadith hasan, to be good or accepted. Astrology or at-tanjim, the definition of it means to learn knowledge relating to the stars, or to believe that the stars had effect and impact on their creation. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, knowledge concerning astrology or knowledge concerning stars are divided into three categories. One called ilm al-tafsir and one called ilm al-taysir, al-taysir. Ilm al-tafsir, the knowledge of stars, which to see the impact and the effect of this star. And the second part, which ilm al-tasyir, the cause of learning directions, times, seasons, things like this. As from Islamic point of view, the Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayh, had divided this subject to other categories. Number one, that you learn this information believing that the stars has an effect in its own. That means the stars is beyond or behind whatever happened in the universe. That means the stars cause certain things to happen from evil. So when such a star comes on the horizon, destruction for nation, falling of civilization, death of a great person, like this. And this type of knowledge or believing in this part of the shirk, to associate partner beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that means you believe there is a creator other than Allah, or there is one beside Allah who has effect and impact on the planet and the human being. Because you change the creation to be a creator. The thing that is supposed to be affected by the creator, now you look up to it to be, it has impact on the human being and on the planet. The other type of learning about stars for the person to believe that according certain stages of the stars, that certain things will take place. That means because this person born in such date, in such a time, according to this star, in this season, his life will be heavy. This person, because he born in such a time, while the star such is there, now this person will, life will be miserable, or otherwise will be heavy. So that means you learn the stars to claim the unseen. So the first type was to believe that it has effect. The second kind of knowledge to believe or to claim the unseen as a result of learning about the stars. And also this bring about the same result which kufr or shirk, because no one knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's almost similar to the first case. Alaykum as-salam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah An-Naml, verse number 65. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That say, O Muhammad, no one in the heaven or in the earth knows the unseen except Allah. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had negated for anything or anyone in the heaven or in the earth to know the unseen. So to believe that somebody knows the unseen, or to take any means, reading the stars or the position of the stars, to indicate that such a thing will happen, disclaiming the unseen, is denying what the Quran is saying, which should cause the person to be a kafir or mushrik. For a person to believe that the stages and the position of the stars cause good or bad, but after such a thing will take place, this also is a part of shirk. But the difference between this type and the first one, that the person doesn't claim this unless it takes place. This is a form of shirk also. As example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the eclipse took place in his time, he said, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهَا عِبَادُ. Indeed, the sun and the moon are two signs of Allah's signs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strike fear in the heart of his slaves by them. That means here we understand the R.A. a sign, indication, for warning. So that means he's saying that as a result of the disobedience of the people, the eclipse took place. Or that there is no rain due to the effect of the sins of the human being. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that they did not, that means the moon and the sun, eclipse doesn't happen due to the death or the birth of somebody. So it has nothing to do with the future or the past, but they are a sign, a part of Allah's creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He shows the eclipse to the people, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala scaring them so they can repent and come back to Allah. So as a result of the sins became the eclipse. But here we believe that the one who strikes the fear in the heart of the people's heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is no effect by the eclipse, but it is a sign. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who caused these things to happen. So this is what we call ilm al-ta'thir, knowledge of impact or the result of learning about the stars in this section, which we call tafsir. It has effect or impact on the things. As for ilm al-taysir, this also the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi has divided to two categories. And by learning about the stars for this kind of categories is required, and it helps the people to establish their religious duty. As example, for a person to know the direction of the Qibla, because facing the Qibla during the Salah is a must. So a person will learn the position and the direction of the stars, so for him to know where is the Qibla. This is something called a tafsir, that as a result of the position of the star in such direction towards the east or the west, now the Qibla will be behind you or in front of you. So this kind of knowledge concerning the stars or concerning your daily life, to know the east and the west, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. This is Surah An-Nahl, and say, by the stars they be guided. So Allah has made this permissible, and there is nothing wrong for the person to learn direction and position and the stages of the stars, to learn and to know if the month is over or the beginning of the month or the direction of the Qibla, or to know also about the seasons, okay, is it spring, is it autumn, is it winter, okay. Although the some of the Salaf rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in, he disliked it, while the others made it permissible. Some of the scholars, or some of the Salaf, the early scholars from the companions or Tabi'een and the Tabi'i Tabi'een, they did not see a necessity of a person learning about the stars other than to know direction of the Qibla, and when they're traveling, which way is east and west, but for learning to know the seasons, no. Because the some of the common people, they believe that due to the fact that such a star is there, now is winter or is cold. Due to the result of such a star being in this position, now is windy. So they believe that the effect came, or what had happened in the weather came as a result of the star. But the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayh, he inclined towards that it's permissible to learn to know the seasons and the time, the same thing as learning for learning the direction. As for the Athar from Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the stars for three reasons, or three purposes. So this is the reason, the purpose. Number one, decoration, adornment for the sky or the heaven, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 5, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. Indeed, Allah Almighty is saying what the meaning is, indeed we have decorated the lowest heaven with lamps, and we made it as a missile against the shayateen. For sure, if a person see a clear sky in a night which no moon there, no city light, he will see the real beauty of the sky and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It looked like a forest, and you can see the silver lands in it. Some of them, they have different shades, and all the things to show you that the reality of what Allah is saying, the creation or adornment for the sky. Can we understand from this that the stars are stuck to the sky, does not have to be, the Shaykh is saying, does not have to be, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Al-Anbiya, the Prophets, verse number 33, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ, that He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created the night and the day, the sun and the moon, each of them in a falak, orbiting, floating in the orbit. So each one has its own orbit, okay? Sometimes they may see eclipse, or sometimes they may see the moon as a dumbbell hiding some of the stars. In certain times of the night, or closer to Fajr, the dawn, sometimes you see part of the star and sometimes you don't see it. This shows you that each one is a distance from the other, and each one has a position from the sky different from the other. So although that it covers it, but after a while you see it when it moves, so it shows you that there is no clash between them, and that they are hanging there, but with a different destination, in different destination from each other and from the sky. And the creation and adornment of such a thing does not have to be stuck to it. As example, when somebody put lights around his house in the garden, he says this light, when you see it from a distance, is decoration for the house, although that is not stuck to the house. The second purpose of the creation of the stars. Why did Allah create the stars? Number one, with adornment for the sky. Second reason is missiles whipping against the shayateen. And the Shaykh saying is for the shayateen among the jinn, not from the shayateen among the ins. Because the shayateen from mankind, they did not reach, and they could not reach to the sky. But the shayateen from the jinn, they had reached the sky. They have ability and power and strength more than the shayateen from the mankind. So the term shaitan, which comes from the word shata, means to be a distance. So the label shaitan can be given to jinn or to mankind. Why? Because shata means to be a distance. So when a person, when a one jinn or mankind stay away from the truth, from the obedience of Allah, Now he is a distance from the truth. You call Shata is a shaitan. That means he is a distant from the truth and what Allah command and the obedience of Allah. So shaitan does not have to be a jinn. There is a shaitan from the jinn and there is shaitan from mankind. So the stars, you are in vacation for me. So the missiles, the stars, the missiles to be weaving against the shayateen from what? From jinn, not from the ins. Why? Because the ins could not reach to the skies, but the jinn already did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us they have ability greater than the human being. And Allah has mentioned in Surah Sa'd what the things they used to do for the Prophet Sulaiman. Some of the shayateen used to be builders. Some of the shayateen used to swim under the water and get all this good stuff that under the water. والشياطين كل بناء وغواص وآخرين مقرنين في الأصفاد. And also Allah had mentioned about Ifrit من الجن. He said to Sulaiman, I will bring the throne of Bilqis before you leave from your gathering. Okay? So this shows you how the Ifrit from the jinn can carry a heavy thing and how he can bring it in very short time, which the human being does not have the same ability. Okay? And as Allah said in Surah Al-Jinn, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. They talk about themselves that we used to sit in their stations from the sky, spying on the angels. So whosoever spy on them, now he will find what? Missiles waiting on him. Number three, the purpose of creating the sky, okay, is to be alamatin yuktada biha. And we understand this from Surah An-Nahl also, okay? The B, verse number 15, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Okay? And with the stars, they get guided. That means to know their direction, right or left, or east to west. While they're traveling and dark at night, and they in the middle of the desert, or they are in the middle of the ocean, they will look to see the stars, and they will know which direction to go. And this also from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the earth, that he found certain alamat, landmarks. You will know it by the street, by highway, by mountain, by a building, by trees, by different colors of certain mountains. But at night, you are not going to see all these things, especially the people who live traveling in the desert and fields in a highway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made other means that you can be directed and be guided, which is not going to obstruct or hide the other thing, and even if it's dark, it still can see your way. Because as a dumbbell, if you know your house by a certain tree, and when you come to this tree, you're going to make a right, or by a gas station. But this gas station out of business and they can remove it, so when you come next year, you don't find the gas station. What you going to do? You get lost? Or they build a bigger building than the building used to be in the corner, so now you could not see the gas station. So there is certain mark, landmark can be hidden by others. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made other means, especially at night. You could not see all these buildings and trees. So at night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain things, other marks, that you can find your way and you don't get lost. And still you can see it regardless if there is electricity or not. And regardless somebody builds a highway or a byway, still there is a way that you can see it. I'm sorry, what do I see? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about one of his favors, that what? وَبِالنَّجْمِ يَهْتَدُونَ. By the stars, by the nujum, the stars, they what? They get guided, that means in their traveling, in their land or by sea. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us, he had subjected for your use all whatever in the heaven and in the earth. وقوله وكره قتادة تعلم منازل القمر. When we say that Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, he dislike in the language of the early scholars and the Salaf means haram, means forbidding. Okay? When as Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, when somebody asked him about certain things and he say akrahu, does not mean it's dislike, mean that it's haram. But the early scholars, they did not use the term haram for every small and minor issues, label things haram, haram. They use, so there are certain things that it maybe is not clear cut in Quran and Hadith with a statement. So he will may say what? Akrahuhu, which means he see it to be closer to the haram and forbidding. And also the word karahiya, as we had mentioned in the last class, also mean haram in the Quran. So the word dislike does not always mean dislike. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the killing and the stealing and the adultery and fornication in Surah Al-Isra, after this says, كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها. All these evil one, things are what? Disliked by your Lord. And no way can be somebody fornicating and making adultery and killing and dealing with usury and say makruh. Alright? So makruh here meant what? To be haram. So Qatada is one of the people that he disliked. And also the possibility that learning the position of the moon, it can be in two different ways. One which is to know the position of the moon. So you can know the days of the month. Okay, because in every position, the every day of the month, the moon taking a certain position until almost the last day which disappear. So they will know that the month now in the middle, in the beginning, the tenth, in the fifth, like this. The second way of learning about the position of the moon, so you can know about the seasons. Okay, if it's going to be cold, winter, summer, when to plant it, or when it's the winter is about to come. So we can see that some of the Salaf, rahmatullahi alayhim, and may Allah be pleased with them all, they dislike learning the positions of the stars of the moon, while others are allowed, but not to believe that it has impact on our life was that a great person been born or a great person pass away, anything like this, but to learn your directions and when the person supposed to plant his seeds and things like this. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi ibn Uthaymeen said, والصحيح أنه لا بأس بتعلم منازل القمر. Because there is no problem to learn about the position of the moon, because there is no shirk involved in this. Except if a person will learn it to attribute the time of rain to it and the time of cold weather, or to believe that this is the cause for the winter and the cause for hot weather and cold weather. But to learn and to know that this is the season of the spring or the autumn, this is no problem with this. Now we have the hadith, which is the only hadith that came in this chapter, and as we said, Sheikh Al-Albani rahmatullah alayhi had weakened this hadith by itself, but said by other narration it will give its support and will elevate it to degree to be a hasan and be accepted. The hadith reported by Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that three persons, they are not entering Jannah. A person who drink wine, a person who boycott cut the blood relationship between him and his family, person who believe in the sorcery. Okay? The Sheikh said the definition, gave a definition not to enter Jannah. He said Jannah is the home and the place which Allah had prepared for His people, the righteous one. And it been named Jannah because it had a lot of trees. And that these trees, it cover. Okay? It cover and shelter the person, so you could not see it, and this is the reason called Jannah. لِأَنَّهَا تُجِنْ مَنْ فِيهَا أَيْ تَسْتُرُ. Okay? So Jannah became a means of a word which shows how is a lot of trees, and because many, many, many trees, it covers other things you could not see. Okay? So this is what, and the jinn called jinn because it's not easy to see it, alright? It's not visible to the eyes, so it's hidden. When you say mudmin al-khamr, alright, mudmin al-khamr, khamr drinker, that became a habit, he drinks a lot. How do you know that this is khamr or not khamr? He said by the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kullu muskirin khamr," which in the book of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, everything, anything which intoxicates, he became wine. What means askar? Means that, no, excuse me, not you are with the ain. Askar, which with the alif, not ain, that means something to cover the mind. But in the meantime, you have to understand not everything cover the mind will be wine. Because that when they give it to the person, although it cover his mind, there is another name I could not forget. he dragged them off in the hospital, you see. Although it covered their mind, but this is not wine. Okay? Or as a dumbbell, if somebody drank a lot of oil, okay, and he fainted, this is not wine, but it covered the mind. So what is the difference, and which one will be the haram? It says, what do you drink for purpose of enjoyment? Okay? Which makes the person feel so good and heavy, and he gives him, give him this, so make him so gracious, okay, to such a degree he even ready to go stand in front of a car or a train, courageous. Okay, she maybe heard it from Sister Naima, she didn't get it in her own. Alright, so this what it became a wine. Yes. It's a motor oil, transmission oil, I don't know what kind of oil you drink. But it shows you that there is certain things that you can drink it, but you are not drinking it for enjoyment. You understand? For the fun of it. If somebody by mistake, as a dumbbell, okay, when I came new to America and I was making a dish salad, so I took this stuff, what you call dishwasher liquid, it looks yellow, it looks exactly like the oil, and I put it on the salad. Okay, so if somebody made some like this by mistake and take it and drink it all, okay, and when I started this salad, understand, it was looked. So I asked my wife what's going on, and after this we went to the sink, we looked, because everything was sitting in the sink, and now I got to know that I bought the wrong thing on the salad, okay. So somebody may drink something by mistake, and now he got drunk, and he fainted, it covered his mind. Can we go and whip him as a dumbbell 8 lashes, or we call that he is drank something? So he's saying that it's not whatever anything cover your mind is going to be, because before they do surgery in you, they have to give you this drug to put you to sleep, to be able to operate in you. So you could not take this person and lash him, or say that you are a drunk person now. Or you are not going to go to Jannah because you took this drugs. The second person is a person who cut the relationship between him and his relatives. Any person who is related to you, okay? Related to you by marriage, related to you by blood, related to you by, okay, a family relationship. And for sure, some of them, they have more rights over you than the others. Okay? So, as we understand that the Islam encourage keeping the good relationship between you and your family, anybody who is in family, understand, and for sure, like I said, sisters and brothers, they have more rights over you than a cousin or than a person that son of your father, brother-in-law, aunt, Okay? So it's related to you, but it's not like your own sister, okay? Some people that you make up the phone and call them, and some people you try to visit them specially in different occasions. So it's different, but in general, a person who cut the relationship between him and his family, okay, intentionally, this person also one of the people that been promised this punishment. The Sheikh made very important point here. He said, Sila, to keep the blood relationship and good relationship among you and your family, is not that a person who visits you visit him back, or a person who gives you a gift, you give him the gift in return. Okay? This is called mukafa, this is not sila. This is called that your return is a favor. Okay? This doesn't call keeping the family relationship. But the wasil, the person who have a keeping the family relationship, that when a person doesn't visit you, you visit him. And when a person did that to you from your family, be good to them. And when one of your family or your relatives doesn't talk to you, you go and talk to them. This is what you call keeping the blood relation and the family ties. Okay? But somebody visited you, you visit him back. This is, the Sheikh said, this is called mukafa'a, that you return the favor. And you do this even to friends and people that you don't know. Alright? So this is not what Islam is talking about. The Silat al-Arham keeps the family relation and the ties, the families, is the rights of Allah as well as the rights of the human being. The third person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet had informed us that is not entering Jannah, a person who believes in sorcery, in magic. That means a person believing that the magic, believe in magic, learning magic, practicing magic. Okay? Especially a person who believes in magic, that it has a reality in changing things. Okay? That means magic has effect, but does not change the reality of things. It doesn't change the broom to a horse. So, like the kids, when they play, they ride over the broomstick, and he acts as if it's a horse. Okay? So, if somebody puts spells in you or made magic, you may see the stick look like a horse, but this does not mean the stick is a horse. And this is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Musa, when the magician threw the stick, يُخَيَّلُ أُلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّا تَسْعَى. So, it seemed to them, but the sticks remain as a stick. It didn't change to sticks. Okay? So it is, it's something it made you see things in a different way. So we believe that sihr and magic has effect in the way how a person relates and see things, but does not change the reality of things. That the man became a woman and the woman became a horse, and the horse turned to be a mountain, all the things. So a person who believes in that magic, that thing, in its reality, it changed. Now this is the person that we talking about it in the hadith. Now the Sheikh is saying here concerning ثَلَاثَ لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. If it means those are the only three that did not enter Jannah, the Sheikh said, of course not. Because in other ahadith, you found other people, the Prophet ﷺ also saying, they are not entering Jannah. So this hadith is not limited the people who are not interested. Now the Sheikh comes with another question, say, is this mean that these people dare to be kuffar? If a person cut the family relationship, okay, or that the person believe in magic, or that a person keep drinking wine, this person is a kafir or he's committing ma'asiyah, because the hadith is saying is not going to enter Jannah. The Shaykh, the scholars are different, not the scholars. He says the people of knowledge, okay, they are different concerning this understanding. And he mentioned about four or five categories, and he gave example the school or the understanding of Al-Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, which they believe that a person, the Muslim, when he commit a ma'asiyah, is a kafir. Okay, which is, this is wrong. This is not the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Okay, this is the people who go to the extreme. If a person, he missed one prayer, if a person one time, he did something haram, he stole one time in his life, this is it. Bad for him all his life. Khawarij, they believe that he is a kafir. The Mu'tazila, they believe that he is between one of the two stages. He is not a kafir, he is not a Muslim. It's something between. Okay? But both of them, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they believe the person who commits any of the major sins, he will be in hellfire forever. Alright? But it's saying that this wa'id and this promise that they are not entering Jannah for a person who believes that this thing is halal, that is lawful, that a person drinking the wine believing that wine is okay to drink it, and whatever written in the Quran, whatever in the hadith, this for the old days, for now we live in America, this civilization and modern day is okay. So this is tihlal, this is different. Now they became a kafir. Alright? Not that a person drinking, believing that it's haram, and he feeling sorry about what he's doing. This person is committing ma'asiyah. Okay? Let me see. So this person, this is not correct, because the person, regardless he drink wine or no, if you believe in your heart that wine is halal, knowing that it's haram in Quran, doesn't matter, you drink or don't drink, you are a kafir. You don't have to make the ma'asiyah, the disobedience, to turn to be a kafir. Okay? It is enough for you to say, it's okay in my heart. I don't care what's in the Quran. I can drink. Although he's not drinking, he is a kafir, even if he did not do it. But we understand that a person, although that he's committing ma'asiyah, believing that is haram, that is still a man in his heart. He's still knowing that this is haram, still feeling sorry for this. Okay? As we understand that still people who will enter Jannah, even they have no faith in their heart except a weight of atom. They did all kind of haram. They still believing in Allah. He said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. In one day after the punishment, after whatever, he will be entering Jannah, because Jahannam and hellfire is forbidden for the believers. Alright? Jannah is forbidden for the disbelievers. But hellfire, a Muslim can enter hellfire. But entering hellfire is not going to be forever. Because in the final stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels what? أَخْرِجُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ. Take the ones that had in their heart a weight of atom of iman in his heart. So this hadith, it came to show the seriousness of the acts and to discourage and to slow down the people to understand how the seriousness of this matter, or the understanding also that he's not going to enter Jannah with those who enter like the first group, second group, or in the first time, okay, will be some kind of delay. But in the final stage, he will enter Jannah. Alright? So there is a different way to understand this hadith, but we are not saying like the people of Mu'tazila or the people of Khawarij who believe that the person who commits a sin, this will turn him to a kafir. Committing a sin doesn't make the person kafir except if he believes that this is halal. Alright? And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن, a adulterer doesn't commit adultery while he is a believer, does not mean he is a kafir. That means he's not in the stage of iman anymore. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله